let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the ancienthopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm here in the studio with Father John Wargle. Welcome, Father John.
Hi there, Danny. We got a lot of work to do today.
I know. So we're still in Genesis in chapter 6. We're going to talk about Seth's line as it relates to the upcoming flood.
Yeah,
and Noah.
Right.
So antediluvian part just before.
You got that word right. Yeah, good.
Yeah, I remember that.
A post called the Haunted House, right? But then we had Light from the Clearstory, and then there's Cain's Alternative Culture. And Cain's Alternative Culture it's dominating our minds here as it crescendos in such terrible evil in chapter 6, where I want to really go today.
Yeah, right? So all those things happened that we talked about last time, where things were created in the world by Cain's children, right?
Oh yeah,
sort of good.
It good was things kind in of culture, good things, but can be used in a bad way, right?
Yes.
And we see how humanity got itself in real trouble with demons, and that's where we're going today.
Okay,
okay?
Good.
Now we may think that, and this is why I titled the post, we may think we're losing, but we're winning even when we think that we're losing.
Yeah.
Okay. The
yeah.
good is always going to win, so we have to keep that in mind, right?
Right, because if we don't, it gets really sour. It gets really dark.
Right. So here's how bad things can get.
Okay.
Okay. In chapter 6, we see the out kind of Cain's line, right?
Mm-hmm.
Men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them. And the B'nai HaElohim, that's a Hebrew idiom, okay? The sons of God. It could be in pagan lore, understood to be the divinities, pagan gods. But in Scripture, B'nai means that which belongs to the realm of Elohim.
Okay.
In other words, these are spiritual beings.
Okay.
We might call them fallen angels.
Yes. Okay.
It has to be that way. Some people interpret it as being a term for Zethline, that they were the sons of God, the perpetuators of the image of God, which I think that really, really doesn't bear the weight of all the issues here. I think that if you look at the Book of Enoch, I don't know if you ever heard of the Book of Enoch, Danny?
No.
Oh, it tells you everything you want to know that the Scriptures didn't say here, but expands on all the evil that happened at the flood, right? And so the scholars are pretty unanimous here that these are angelic beings, and they see the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. And so therefore they went and they took from them as wives from whatever they chose.
Mm-hmm.
So this is chaos. Remember, everything's going from the reversal, from rest to disorder to utter chaos.
Yeah.
We have here unholy mixtures, Danny.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is, we're far away from the order of creation.
That God wanted, yeah.
Yeah, right. Where evil spirits somehow are cohabitating with women. It doesn't explain how that happens. It could be that they took possession of men, and then through that, what we will see here, that it's juxtaposed to the whole idea of the Nephilim, okay? The fallen ones, that's what it means in Hebrew.
Okay.
That we have here an occult race of warriors.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, we're talking about a memory in Scripture. They were in the land in those days.
Wow.
That were probably the result of this terrible union of demons and women.
Okay.
Okay.
Hmm.
Wow.
So, you know, I told you, Danny, this is kind of dark here.
Yeah, but, yeah, sure is. Make a movie about this.
Yeah, I'm sure. And so how does God respond? Verse 3, he said, my spirit will not always, this Hebrew word here only happens once. We don't know what it really means. It can mean abide, or usually translate abide or strive. My guess is it probably means will not always put up with us.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's not going to put up with us, which is good because he's a God of justice, right?
Right.
Yeah. So that he limits the days to 120. Up to this time, we didn't say anything about this before, Danny, but we didn't talk about the long lives of those who lived in Zethline, like Methuselah, right?
Yes. I did read, you know, I mean, just in the middle of this, I read some extra stuff kind of on the side, some other contextual material about these verses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so they did talk about that, where there, you know, people lived for 1,000 years and all that. And then in this verse, God finally says, okay.
He limits.
This is going too far.
Right.
You guys are becoming really evil, so we're just going to limit you to 120 years.
Yeah, you expect that long years would bring wisdom, right?
Right, yeah.
But what it's really saying, long years, this gives them
more time to do
more
evil.
More time to do bad things. Okay.
Get worse.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right on, Danny, on that. Okay, so what do we have? In verse 5, God saw that the wickedness was great on the earth, and every imagination, that's the word here, yetzer, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart. Now, the heart here is the seat of both the will and the intellect, okay? That means all the thoughts that were swarming around in the minds of humans were rak, ra, kol, yamim. Okay, that's the Hebrews there. Is that it sounds, you know, flows, right? Rak, ra means is only evil all the time.
Yeah, so there was just a continuous flow of the opposite kind of if you can say that,
right.
The opposite of what God intended. So
right,
these evil thoughts, evil actions, all continuous.
Right,
so God
right.
sees that and says, oh boy, we're in trouble.
Yeah, we were made in an image of God to have these powers of the mind, and we're misusing them. And then we have what we call an anthropomorphism here. Yahweh was grieved or was sorry that he made man on earth.
Mm.
Now, it doesn't mean that God is incapacitated with grief and that he's regretting that he made a mistake, okay?
Right.
That's an anthropomorphism which really compares the heart of God with really the heart of humans whose thoughts were evil all the time of their minds or their hearts. Okay,
sure.
So there's a contrast of God's heart, which feels and feels intensely.
Yeah.
And in a human heart that's become hard and cannot feel anymore.
Gotcha. Okay.
And it really also says that God is not some transcendent being up there that's detached. What it really is saying that he's, if we can ascribe emotions to God, he's emotionally immanent with the human race.
Mm. Yeah. So he's with us.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in some way, every tear,
mm-hmm.
every human tear is a divine tear.
Mm-hmm. Sure. You got to go back to that image.
Yeah.
Made in the image of God.
Right. Right.
Sure. Makes sense.
So humanity got so evil that it can no longer feel. Okay, so that's pretty bad, right? So God, in verse 7, God says, I am going to wipe away man from which I created from the face of the earth. Okay, man and beast from creeping things, the birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made them. Again, that euphemism, okay?
Yeah.
Obviously, he didn't make a mistake, right?
Right, sure, right. God can't do that.
Yeah, so. Right, okay. Now, in contrast to that, we have Noach. Noach mm-hmm. is interesting. The word itself means rest.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you fit that, Danny, into the whole scene here?
Oh, gosh. Don't ask me that question.
Well, no.
okay, so.
Yeah, go, yeah.
So Noah comes about and is going to be the one who provides a change.
Oh, of course, yeah.
A movement back toward, from the chaos, back
exactly.
toward, through disorder to rest.
Perfect, you got it. Danny, you got it, right. Yeah, rest is
fast
the goal
on my feet.
Of creation. It's the seventh day.
Yes, right,
so
back
he's
to
going
the seventh
to
day, yeah.
That name. And in chapter 2, it said that God placed Adam in the garden. It didn't use the usual word for place. It says he rested him in there. From the word Noach, or okay, Noach is the name for rest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. Okay, so that's what we have. Verse 6. Now the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Again, there's the contrast between the heart of man and the heart of God.
Yeah,
that's the key to understanding this very difficult situation.
And it makes it even more difficult because we can't understand God's heart. We can only try and make God's heart into like a human heart. You know, we have to do that.
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargle. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
That's the key to understanding this very difficult situation.
And it makes it even more difficult because we can't understand God's heart. We can only try and make God's heart into like a human heart. You know, we have to do that.
Right. We have to do that anthropomorphism as long as we understand that God's mind is far above and beyond.
Yes.
He doesn't even have a mind, okay, in the sense he doesn't think and has to think in logical.
Like us.
Right.
Yeah. Order kind of.
Yeah, right. Yeah. All his knowledge is intuitive.
Right.
Of course. And he sees everything from the span of time from beginning to the end.
Right.
Right.
So that's one thing for me to really remember while we're reading through all of this is that we're trying to say what God is like here and what God is feeling.
Right.
You know, in air quotes there.
Right.
But it's impossible for us to do it. So we're just doing our best to try and understand it.
St. Thomas Aquinas says it's all analogous. It's just an analogy to something.
Yes.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Right. Okay. So Yahweh said, okay, he's going to wipe out everything like we said. But in verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord.
Yes.
So Noah is categorically different from everyone else. And to find favor is another way of saying that Noah pleased God. It's
okay.
A Hebrew idiom. Noah pleased God. There's one guy that pleased God, and that was Noah.
So somehow in his life and the way he was living his life, he was found to be pleasing.
Right.
In God's
Zeph's
eyes.
Line,
yes.
He is the culmination of all the good in Zeph's line as opposed to the culmination of all of the evil that was around him.
Right, and see like the 10th generation or something?
That's right.
Yeah.
Now,
so there's something
there are
about
more
10.
Than 10 generations.
Right.
But when you look at the genealogies, they're all numerically significant, right?
Mm-hmm.
The 10th generation comes both judgment, but also comes salvation.
Okay,
we're
going to
see this in the post-diluvians as well. So both the antediluvians and post-diluvians, the genealogies are 10th generation.
Right.
Important.
Okay,
right?
Before and after the flood. Okay.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Good. So in verse 9, we have these are generations of Noah, and you see that he has three sons. And we'll talk more about that later. And verse 12 is interesting. And Yahweh saw the earth, vihine, and behold, nishchata. Now, shachat is the root of this. Now, shachat is a word that sounds like it means, right? Now, the last time that God looked at the earth, and behold, it was what?
Good.
Yeah, tov. Right?
Yes. Oh, right. Yeah.
Now he looks at it and he says, it's shachat.
Like you're trying to clear your throat there.
Right. So I have a great illustration for this, Danny. My wife and I went on a vacation, right? And the electricity went out during the time. Okay. As soon as you open the door, you know that something's not right.
Okay.
There's no electricity in the house.
Yeah.
Okay. The first thing I think about is the
refrigerator. Yes. Everything we bought is going bad right now.
No, you know? So it took me a lot of courage to open up that door.
Yeah.
But I had to open it up, plus curiosity, that sort of thing. Okay, so I opened it up, and it was shachat.
Okay. Oh, man.
It was moldy. It was smelly. It was just everything opposite. See, when God made everything, it's kind of like a, you know, don't you love these refrigerators, these French doors? You kind of open them up.
And yeah, we have one. Yeah.
It's paradise, right? Everything
what,
is.
What goodness can I find in here?
Yeah. Right. Everything's fresh. You've got the vegetables there. You have the meats there. You've got the dairy there. And it's heaven, Danny. Uh-huh, it's heaven, right? So that's how God created the world to be, right? And now he opens the refrigerator up and it's shachat.
Nothing but evil in there.
Right. You wonder what's going to fly out of there, you know, something terrible, right?
Bad smell.
Yeah. So that's what it was. It was shachat, verse 12.
Oh, and so, and my version here says corrupt.
Corrupt would be another way of looking at it.
Which is not nearly enough.
I'm
thinking. Yeah, that word doesn't do it justice.
Right. But, you know, it goes on to say that all flesh had corrupted itself. Now, Danny, this is going to sound really, really bizarre, okay? But that all flesh is inclusive, not just of man, but of beast.
Oh, wow. So every animal had followed the bad line and
not that animals are moral creatures,
right.
Okay, so but that humans corrupted them. Okay, not only did the angels came upon the daughters of men, which is unholy mixtures, what we see here is probably bestiality. And the possibility in this ancient lore that it was understood to be were animals.
Oh, I don't even know what that is.
Like werewolves.
Oh, werewolves. Yeah, oh, okay. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
We're animals.
Gotcha.
Yeah, right. And
so almost a mixture
is what the word is.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So everything has gone completely haywire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All that is implied in the kol basar, all flesh. Right.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So, anyways, all this to say. As Danny, is that the human race got to a place. And the code word here for this is chamath, for the Lord saw it was corrupt. It became violent.
Okay.
Okay, violence is that code word in the Hebrew word, chamath. It's not connected to the Arabic word chamath, which, you know, would seem to dovetail into this whole thing, but we're not going to get political here or anything like that.
No, yeah.
But whenever that happens, when things get so bad, it's chamath, and God has to step in with judgment.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Okay, so it's got as bad as it's going to get. I mean, God recognized, this is as bad as I'm going to let this get.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you know, God lets these things happen. He lets Cain's line play out.
Yes, right.
Okay, we know that in Cain's line that God showed him grace, but when God shows evil people grace, they presume upon it, and we see that Lamech, whereas Cain killed his brother, Lamech was killing people indiscriminately.
Right, he was just doing bad things.
Just bad things.
And thinking he could get away with it.
And why not? I mean, you know, so grace can work toward repentance with a good heart, but grace can also, and God's patience can be presumed upon. And so that's kind of like what we got here. And Danny got, this is Zest line, right?
Yeah. Gotcha. Wow.
Okay.
So we're at a bad place and now we're at Noah.
Now we have Noah.
Noah.
Now it says that he was Tzadik, which means righteous. And he was Tamim. That word Tamim is a very important word from here on out. Danny, Tamim, he was perfect.
Okay.
And the picture for this perfection, this righteousness, is that he walked with God like his ancestor, Enoch, right?
Yes, right.
He walked with God. So in contrast to all this, we have Noah, who was righteous a light shining in this very dark place. And I'm sure that Noah looked at all the crazy things going on around him, and he thought, oh, everything's going to hell in a handbag. And, you know, there is this feeling that that we're losing, that good is losing, right?
Yes, right,
but,
yeah.
But underneath it all, we see that God is always winning.
Sure, God is always at work. God
He's
is continually trying to move us in a better direction.
Right. So what does it mean to be tamim? What does it mean to be perfect? Well, it doesn't mean that he had a sinless perfection.
Mm-hmm.
It's never used that way. But Danny, it's really important to know that perfection is used many times in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's always in a positive way.
Yeah, sure.
So when we hear people say, well, you know, I'm not perfect.
Right, yeah.
They're basically saying that as an excuse for their own moral failures, right?
Right,
well,
sure.
I'm not perfect, you know. You know, that is not biblical, Danny. It
yes.
is not biblical.
Yeah.
Okay, perfection is an orientation.
Right.
Okay, it's walking with God.
And we have talked about this a lot. I mean, in Beams,
yes.
There was a lot of this idea. And that's
right.
something that I really took away
yeah.
from all of that was
yeah.
that my mm-hmm. orientation, where I'm headed, is the movement and in the process of perfection.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's messy, Danny. Okay, I noticed some of your comments on this post. Like mm-hmm. sometimes I feel like, you know, I'm not sure which line I belong to, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Just I feel like I'm constantly going back and forth between
right.
this idea of where I'm in a bad place and then where I'm in a much better place.
Right, right. You have to realize that that the struggle itself is a struggle of perfection.
Yes, right, right.
All right, if you're not struggling, well, then you're not perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, if you're just kind of getting swept away with it all, you mm-hmm. know, with death line down a drain, and then people do that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But if we have our eyes on God, and as Christians, our eyes on Christ, who is perfection,
mm-hmm.
then we are taking on his perfection, and we could call ourselves perfect. Jesus said, be perfect.
Yes. Right.
Just as your Heavenly Father is perfect.
Yeah.
He's not saying, no, Danny, you better be perfect.
Well,
just your Heavenly
right.
Father is perfect
exactly.
with a shaking finger, right?
And he's also not saying be sinless because he knows that's impossible.
Well, yeah.
I mean it seems like that.
What it is that when you blow it, that's why we have penance.
Yes,
okay, that's
right.
why we have reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
The whole sacrament of penance does not make sense apart from the concept of perfection.
Yeah, right.
Because when you go to confess, you're not only being, Jesus is forgiving you, but a penance is given to you so that you can better your life in your walk of perfection.
Sure. And right. then in that, I can really get much more of a sense that God is winning.
Yeah, that's right. Because then you begin to see, hey, you know, I'm on a spiral upwards, right?
Yes.
And even though I might fall, I get up by God's grace, and I look to Jesus, I receive forgiveness, and we also make restitution, because sin is really stealing from God in one way, shape, or form or another.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not only restitution, but it's also a trajectory saying, Lord, I don't want to be this way anymore. I don't want to do this again. I'm resolved now to,
yes.
yeah. So yeah. that's when now Noah didn't have this sophisticated sacrament and the outcome of everything with Jesus Christ, but still that whole idea of perfection we get from the Old Testament. We
yeah.
get from Enoch, who walked with God.
Right, right.
Noah, who walked with God.
Yeah,
it was Zadik and was Tamim.
Okay, and so next time we'll begin to talk about Noah and that story.
Oh, yeah. Very, very interesting.
And we're going to jump into post-diluvian
yeah,
after that.
You're looking forward to the post-diluvians, aren't you?
Yes.
You've had enough with the antediluvians.
You're
right?
not kidding. These guys. Okay, good. Well, thanks
okay.
so much for coming
okay.
in.
God bless you. Bye.
We'll see you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to AncientHopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show
on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.